Hello, everybody. Today, we're going to talk about advocacy, and we're going to talk about courage, and we're going to talk about intimidation and what's happening in America today, and particularly on the college campuses. My guest today is an extraordinary hero, Caitlin Corrigan. Welcome to the show, Caitlin.
Hi, Mr. Kennedy. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm so grateful to be here and to share my story with you all today. I'm a graduate student from Earlham School of Religion. I'm currently getting my master's in peace and social transformation. I came into a difficult situation when my university required proof of the COVID test and proof of COVID vaccination to attend graduation, which was just last month. And so I came into a tough situation. I have a longstanding religious exemption to vaccination, which was accepted for my undergraduate degree and was accepted for my master's program. And so when they required proof of vaccination, I simply reminded my school of my religious exemption. And then I received an email reply very quickly that said, oh, we're not accepting that for this round. And so I reminded them of the law and how I'm protected under Indiana state law, code 21456, that states that I'm entitled to a religious exemption to vaccination. After notifying them of the law, I asked them, I'm wondering what law allows Earlham College to override Indiana state law and federal law. And if there is such a law, it is in violation of my right to religious freedom underneath the United States Constitution. And so I didn't receive a reply from that email. And so I got in contact with the senator in my district in Indiana, who then referred me to speak to the attorney general of Indiana. And from there, I filed complaints with the Indiana Commissioner for Higher Education. So then I filed complaints with the Indiana Commissioner for Higher Education and the Indiana Commissioner for Civil Rights. And both groups did their own investigations. And then a month later, I received a letter where they had responded to the Indiana Commissioner for Higher Education saying, Caitlin and her family will be able to attend graduation without having to show proof of COVID vaccination. And on that same day, Earlham College changed their website to where they had said that they're requiring proof of COVID vaccination to just simply recommending it. And the website had also said that they were requiring proof of a negative COVID test, and they just simply recommending that for graduation, which was great. I was so excited. After, you know, a month of contacting different representatives and trying to figure out what rights I had protected underneath the law, I was able to change the policy. So it was very exciting to know that I would be able to attend the graduation of my master's program.
Did you get blowback from it?
Yes, I did. In fact, I received so much blowback. I was harassed. I was threatened by my fellow classmates, by my professor, my academic advisor, as well as the president of Earlham College and Earlham School of Religion, Ann Houtman. I began receiving emails and text messages from my peers in my program and those that I had graduated with from my bachelor's degree that I wasn't really in contact with. On platforms with over 1,300 members, I was called an anti-vaccine activist. The people were saying that I was dabbling in right-wing propaganda. And then the defamation of character just exploded after that. People were saying that I was an anti-Semite, that I believed Jews ruled the world, and that I thought COVID was a hoax, which is completely insane accusations. I led the interfaith community at Earlham College for 2 years. I was part of the interfaith community for three. I was the president for two. I had organized memorial services for Jewish communities that were attacked in both 2018 and 2019. And so I, as a deeply religious person, I was really hurt by those accusations and by these just rumors that were being spread throughout all of Earlham College and to the global community that were just completely false. So in fact, the threats continued. People were sending me messages saying there would be consequences. I'd have to pay for not getting the vaccine. I was invited to speak at graduation prior to all of this. And so students were really outraged that I was not going to get the vaccine and then I would be able to speak at graduation. So people said, oh, really? You're not getting the vaccine and you think you're going to speak at graduation? Who do you think you are? my phone was ringing constantly for about a week and a half, and then it continued after that, but it was really rough for a long period of time. My professors were included in email threads with hundreds of people saying all these horrific things about me. And my professor emailed me telling me that the class that I was supposed to participate in May was now going to be online due to the fact that I'm unvaccinated. So they changed the class to being in person to being online. And then after that, my professor actually told me that to not come to graduation. He requested that I not come. And then he went on to tell me that he would pay me to not attend the graduation of my master's.
And he would pay you?
Yes. He said that he would refund me any money that I had already put out to travel to Indiana for graduation. So he would pay for my airfare or whatever costs if I wouldn't be able to get a refund.
Was this a professor with whom you had a good relationship prior?
Yes. I had taken three classes with this professor. This professor was also my academic advisor. So I had spoken to him on a weekly basis for an entire year, basically. And then I still had to continue being in class with him for my May intensive. It was a two-week intensive on Christian ethics, despite everything that had occurred. So that was really difficult because then after class for four consecutive days, he would send me emails basically saying, I told you not to come to graduation and you did against my request. And so now I need to consider whether or not I should contact Boston University and retract the letter of recommendation I wrote for you. So I've been accepted to Boston University to continue my graduate studies. And so my professor, he wrote my letter of recommendation, or one of three. And so he began threatening me, saying that he would contact them. He didn't exactly say what he would tell them. I don't know exactly what he would have told them, or if he has contacted them already. But yeah, I've already accepted a full tuition scholarship for a three-year program there. So the threats
and,
just...
And you're studying divinity there?
Yes, I'm getting my Master's of Divinity, and then I plan to go on to law school to fight for constitutional rights, religious freedom, and continue working on advocating for people and their rights to freedom.
Caitlin, what did you learn from having to stand up against all of this storm of disapproval and disapprobation and vilification?
Yeah, definitely. I think that I got a really great education in evil. When I had emailed the president of Earlham College requesting her to remove the defamatory statements made about me from Earlham College platforms and requesting security for myself and my family at graduation, she had replied in one word, LOL, and then just signed her name. And so I learned that people can be really evil in the most horrific ways. And that can just be when you stand up for your own rights and for your own freedom. And I realized how important it is that we do take a stance and we do speak our own truth. And, you know, even if you're speaking in front of people that are completely against whatever that truth is, that to speak it loudly. And to never give up. I was able to, you know, change the policy at my school. And I'm sure that I probably spoke up for other students' rights that were either concerned about the vaccine or didn't want to take the vaccine. And so in many ways, I didn't just fight for my rights, but I fought for many other people's rights, whether they were students or family members that didn't want to get the vaccine. I think what's most important here is we're seeing such a huge shift in society. There's so much hatred against people that may have different viewpoints than you. And so it's really important to recognize the evil, to recognize that hatred, and to really change that, to be a voice for others and work in a way that really promotes love. When I'm working with trying to advocate for many other college students around the country, and what I keep saying over and over again is that we have to act in a way that is loving in a way that we have freedoms and we need to protect them. We don't have to be full of hatred. And it's really horrific what we're seeing in this country right now with the censorship, with just, you know, canceling people out that you don't agree with. And that's not what America is about. America is about, you know, you're able to practice whatever faith you want here. You're able to say whatever you want and follow your own truth. And that has been my whole motto, my whole life. You know, Earlham College is a Quaker institution. I went to a Quaker high school. I value the Quaker principles and I live them every single day of my life. And so what happened to me was not very Quakerly, to say the least.
Is it a Quaker school?
Yes. Yes, Earlham College is a Quaker institution. There's not many Quaker colleges in the country.
No, they, I went to a Quaker school for 2 years, well, friends, in Washington, and I really loved all those, you know, we had the meditation every morning and the Quaker convocation where people get up and speak. And it was really beautiful. But did you lose personal friendships as well?
I did. I lost many friendships. And I was really concerned for my own safety going to graduation. I apologize. You know, it's really crazy when you feel like you're a part of a community for many years. I was part of the Earlham community for over 5 years. And to be shunned, to be isolated from an institution, from your professors, from people that you once admired and looked up to, is perhaps the hardest thing anybody could go through. I think for me personally, it has been the most difficult situation that I've ever experienced in my life. I've lost countless hours of sleep through this all. I've had to take a large amount of time to reflect on myself as a person, to consider where I want to go in this lifetime, to consider whether or not I want to continue speaking out about this truth of mine of upholding my freedoms and the freedoms of every American in our country. And at this point, I recognize that it is a duty that I have, that I think we all have, is to protect one another and protect our freedoms. And so I have chosen to continue doing that, but it has been perhaps the hardest experience of my life. It's hard for a lot of college students right now in the time that we're living in. You know, people are being harassed and threatened and bullied for declining the vaccine or even just questioning it. And that's what's so fundamental, is having the right to question what we put into our bodies. And I think that in itself is so important, that we have the right to question, you know, question our politicians, question our leaders, question our scientists, and find our own truth in the world, and find our own truth in what has happened this past year, over a year of lockdowns, of you know, deaths, and so that's what's so important, is navigating and finding our own truth in this and sticking to that.
Did you have friends who did stick with you?
I have one friend that did stick with me, but I didn't really talk about it with a lot of people after this. Everyone that was in my master's program, no one reached out to me. I received threatening messages from about half of the people I graduated with, and the rest stayed silent. At Earlham School of Religion, I don't have any friends from my master's program. From people at Earlham College, I didn't really speak about it with a lot of people. I received harassing messages from quite a few people that I graduated with. And then a lot of people defriended me or blocked me off of social media. And so I did speak about it to one of my friends who did stand by me and had asked if you know, she could in any capacity, if I wanted her in any capacity to speak up on my behalf. I said, you know, at that point, everything was kind of over. Graduation had already happened. And so I had said that it wasn't really necessary, but I appreciated her to try to advocate for me in some way. No one reached out to me, and I didn't want to talk about it to anybody else because I felt like everyone thought that I was a threat in some capacity, in some insane way. But yeah, everyone I graduated with, no one stood by my side. And I was actually removed from my last online class. It's completely online. And that class is supposed to continue until the end of July. And so I've had to do it all independently with another professor. And I actually just completed that on my last assignment on Friday. So I was a few months ahead. I'm grateful to complete my requirements for my degree, move forward and move ahead. The best is yet to come.
I'm sure you know this, but virtually everybody that I'm sure you admire and that I admire throughout history are people who have gone through the same thing that you're going through, isolation, disapproval of your community, the willingness to stand up for something you believe in, even when everybody around you is telling you that you're wrong. And I admire you so much, Caitlin. You're really a hero to me. And you know, you have a lot of people in our community who love and admire you and understand what you went through. So I pray for your strength. I pray for your courage. And I know that you're going to give us a lot of wonderful leadership in the future.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I definitely think that I've made it through the uphill battle. I went to a Board of Education meeting last week. A few parents had contacted me and asked if I could speak on their children's behalf at the meeting. And the Board of Education of Miller Place on Long Island, New York, was discriminating against children who had medical exemptions to wearing masks. Many of them were vaccine injured or had autism or were special needs children. And so I went to the meeting to speak up for them. And after I said my name, I was pushed, accosted. Two large male security guards kind of backed me up into a corner. They had chased me around the auditorium because they didn't want me to speak. And they told me that they were throwing me out of the meeting because I wasn't allowed to speak. And so after that, I had posted the video of what happened. I had it all video recorded and I posted it on social media. The next day, my boss was emailed and somebody or multiple people, I'm not really sure, had emailed my boss and told her that I had disrupted a Board of Education meeting, that my actions were inappropriate and unacceptable, and were most likely not in line with the mission of the organization that I work for currently. And so my boss had called me that day and she said, I don't know what happened, but it seems like a lot of people hate you right now. And she stood by me. She said, I didn't even bother watching the video because I've known you. She's known me for 8 years and she knows that I'm a human rights activist and that's who I've been my entire life. When I was 7 years old, I donated 11 inches of my hair to Locks of Love for children that either have cancer or other conditions that cause them to lose hair. And from the time I was seven, I've always been an activist for other people. And so she's known me her whole life. And she said, I didn't even bother watching the video, but you know, I told those people that Kaylin is our intern and we love her here. And I'm sure whatever she was doing was for the betterment of society. And that was that. But people were trying to have me remove my position at an internship that I've had for the past year. And so people are trying to continue to make me stop advocating for other people. And that won't happen. You know, at this point, I think the worst thing that you might try to do to somebody is take their integrity away. And that was what was done with all of the defamatory statements online that were made, that were shared with thousands of people that I've never seen or talked to before in my life. But I won't stop. This has just been my beginning.
How can our listeners support you, Caitlin?
Definitely. I think we need more people. We need more people to stand up. You know, if you strongly believe in something and you see something that's happening in your community that's wrong, that you have to use your voice. You have to, you know, learn what rights you have underneath the Constitution and exercise them in any capacity. You know, what would be so great is if there were, I mean, right now there's many people that are speaking out, and it's hard with all of the censorship that's happening. But, you know, go to Board of Education meetings, go to, businesses that are discriminating based on vaccine status, that are requiring you to show proof of vaccine status. And even if you've had the vaccine, if you, that makes you uncomfortable, if you say, you think to yourself, oh, well, sharing my personal medical information is kind of against American values, then speak out about it and say, actually, I don't really want to give you that information. It's unlawful for you to require that. And I'm no longer going to shop at, you know, your store anymore. I'm no longer going to attend your farmer's market, or, okay, your school is going to require me to show vaccination. If not, I have to be masked. I have to do testing every week. Then I'm no longer going to go to this institution. I will not, you know, pay the $60,000 tuition every year. And by doing that, by resisting, we will see a major shift in our society. And that's what we need. We need a major shift, and we need more people to stand up. All it takes is one person. You know, I was the only person that was really standing up to my institution and their policy in requiring vaccine status to attend graduation. And so, you know, I was able to change that, and other people can too. You just have to know what rights you have and exercise them.
And I know you're working with Children's Health Defense in New York. Is there ways that people can follow you on social media or anything else?
Definitely, yes. So on Twitter and Instagram, my name is, or my account name is, I am Kate Corrigan, CaitCorrigan. And on Facebook, it's Kate Corrigan, CaitCorrigan. So you can follow me on there. I'm currently working with some members from Children's Health Defense in New York to write letters for college students where their colleges are requiring a religious leader to write a letter in support of their religious exemption, which is completely unconstitutional and just goes completely against the idea and concept of religion and personal religious belief. Hopefully that letter will be made available to the public soon. We have some lawyers that are just reviewing our letter just to make sure that it is all set in stone and can be used. So I'm working with some other members from Children's Health Defense to organize college students. Colleges are really hitting these college students with a lot right now, requiring the vaccine. And then if you don't have it, you can't attend sporting events, you can't be on sports, you can't participate in extracurricular activities. And that's the whole part of college. College is not just attending class, even though that's a big thing, but it's being part of a community and attending events and participating in clubs and sports and choirs. And so that's not an equal and fair education if you're not able to fully participate like anybody else. I'm working on a letter as well for schools that are segregating people on not having the vaccine. You know, this is something that is really important to me. I definitely feel like I was segregated, isolated, shunned, and I wanna make sure that doesn't happen to any other college student, graduate student, young person. It shouldn't, no one should be treated the way I was treated. And so I want to make sure that I can do anything in my power to prevent that from happening again.
Well, you're an amazing girl, Caitlin. And I will tell you right now that when you get out of Boston University, you have a job at Children's Health Defense. If you need it, that's a permanent offer. And thank you for your courage. You're really a hero.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I admire your work tremendously. You have been a big inspiration, and my family has followed Children's Health Defense for many years. And, you know, it's so essential. You know, it's very meaningful work, protecting people's rights and making sure they're not violated. So medical freedom, religious freedom, the right to speak on whatever that may be. And so it's definitely our duty, I think, as citizens. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a doctor to speak out. And that's what's so important. I think college students might be intimidated, might say, oh, well, I don't really know. You know, I just know that I don't want to do this. And I feel like it's, you know, I have the right to not be forced to inject myself with anything. And I want to make sure people know that they do have a voice in this and to fight back. All it takes is one person to make a difference.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good night.
You too.
Or good rest of your day. Bye-bye.